Hi, I'm Ollie Stallwood. I write for the property section of the Metro, which is the UK's largest newspaper. And I'm here with AJ Odudu today to talk about her new home and shared ownership. So today we're chatting with TV presenter AJ Odudu about what her home means to her. You'll have seen her recently in a gutsy performance on Celebrity SAS Who Dares Wins, but perhaps her biggest challenge yet has been making the first step onto the property ladder. She's just bought her first place in South East London and has been busy making it feel like a home since moving in 4 months ago. She's joining us today to talk about her new home and what it means to her. AJ's also currently an ambassador for Shared Ownership Week. This is an annual event which runs from the 19th to the 25th of September and promotes more affordable ways to get on the property ladder. Hi AJ, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. What a great little intro.
So, you've just bought your first home. How exciting. Is that something you've always wanted to do?
It is something that I've always wanted to do. I think for a number of reasons. One, my parents never owned their properties and still don't actually in the UK up north. Whilst I don't think there's a problem with that, I think when I moved to London, we're just constantly moving. And I think I just wanted to, find a place that I didn't have to move for whatever reason. It's constantly the case in London. Every 6 to 12 months, there's a change in how much rent you pay, or your landlord might want to sell, or whatever. And it's just like, oh my gosh. Or someone moves out, or a flatmate moves out, so now you have to rethink where you can afford to live without that flatmate. And I just literally want the stability.
Yeah. So it's given you more of a sense of like well-being and actually, has it changed your life, would you say?
Honestly, it really has because, like I said, and I think as you do get, you know, busy with work and life, you don't always want to have something hanging over your head. And that thing for me was constantly like, oh, my contract's up, or I need to move, or me and my boyfriend have just broke up and now I can't afford to be here. And so, yeah, it's made me feel really calm, really rooted and grounded. And honestly, I look forward to going home now, and it's cozy and it's mine.
Good stuff. Now, you talked about being busy. Now, I know you're a fitness trainer, a DJ, a television presenter, a reality TV star. Where did you find the time to buy a home?
Oh, my gosh. Honestly, it took me a year to find it. Just weekends. Just finding weekends or evenings, searching online constantly, getting to grips with what floor plans actually looked like and felt like. If I was to go around, you get to a point where you're like, yeah, that's going to be small, that's going to be too small, or, oh, that's quite spacious. You can tell almost. Yeah, it was just a lot of late nights, and any free time that I had basically was spent looking for a flat.
Yeah.
And that was hard in itself. It was really, I thought I'd really enjoy the process. And initially, I did. Initially, I found this place. It's in South East London. It was within budget, and it had all just been newly refurbished. And I was like, oh my gosh, everyone says to me it's so hard and it's going to take ages. I thought, this is easy. Put an offer in, accepted the offer. I was like, oh my gosh. Easy.
Yeah.
And then it all fell through, and then that was like my first heartbreak in the world of
first taste of the property world.
Yeah. Everyone said, don't get attached to these houses that you look at, or these flats that you look at, and you can't help it, you just do.
And you know, London is notoriously tricky to get on the ladder, especially these days. It doesn't seem to be getting any easier. Did you find it difficult to find something that you that was affordable and something that you liked?
It was really time consuming, and I think essentially I've been living in London for over 10 years, and it had been a long time in the making. I've rented, I've lived with parents, I've lived in a whole plethora of accommodation styles, and I I knew exactly what I wanted. I think, you know, when you spend so much time, the beauty of renting actually is that you find out what you like and dislike about each and every property. And if you were someone like me, who I tended to move between every like eight and 12 months. So I moved around quite a lot. And the beauty of that is that you think, I really liked living in an ex-council property because they're really spacious and really well built. Or I really liked living in a new build because everything just worked. Or I loved the bay windows in that period property. And so you sort of create your own like Frankenstein style home. And that's amazing when you start looking. But the curse of that is that you are very particular all of a sudden. And it might take a bit longer to find your dream property.
So what were you looking for? What was like on your wish list?
On my wish list was somewhere close to public transport. Somewhere that had local amenities. So I really wanted to live close to like a local supermarket or like petrol station or something like that. Somewhere that had big windows. I'm a massive fan of natural light and preferably high ceilings.
How many of those things did you manage to get?
Also, I wanted it to be split level. Mm-hmm. I really wanted stairs. Even if they were four stairs, I was like, I need to get stairs because I need to feel like I live in a house. Just years of living on one level. And I managed to get all of those things.
Oh, fantastic.
I know, so lucky.
So you were renting before and I think you were living with family and friends and things like this. How did you manage to save for your deposit? And do you have any good tips for saving? What did you have to give up?
It was so hard. Oh. I mean, you know, like I really want everyone to just obviously know that it is possible to do all of these things. But I think especially if you're self-employed like I am, I didn't realise that technically that is a bigger risk for a bank to lend to. It's not as appealing as someone who has a consistent wage that definitely stays the same throughout the year, whereas mine jumps up and down constantly. So in order to save, I moved back in with my dad, essentially. Initially, when I wanted to get on the property ladder, I was really happy in a relationship and we discussed like buying a property together, and my ex-boyfriend was a key worker, so key workers have, you know, extra benefits, and I thought, oh, this is going to be great. And so our mortgage was essentially based on his financial stability. And then when that relationship fell through, I was absolutely devastated. Not only because I was like, I've lost the love of my life, but also because I thought, there's no way that I'm going to be able to get on the property ladder all by myself. So I just came up with this strategy, moving with my dad and just get my head down and just save every single penny that I would have otherwise spent on rent.
What was it like moving back with dad? Was there any rules or a curfew or anything like that that you had to suddenly abide by? How did that feel?
Initially, it was fun moving in with my dad because honestly, I was like, right, it's not going to be for that long. It'll only be a few months. So initially, I moved in and took full advantage. Almost forgot that I was meant to be saving up. And yeah, I had late nights, had parties, was just spending all of this extra cash on going out. And then, yeah, my dad wasn't pleased about that. Mm-hmm. So got a little telling off and had to curb that. He just very quickly reminded me that, hang about, you're here to save, not to spend all your additional cash on going out. So that was our initial like friction. And then we'd have tiffs because I took over his hallway with all of my shoes, handbags and jackets. He's a guy, he had like four pairs of shoes and like two coats, and yeah, the hallway was taken over by my belongings, and soon the whole flat was essentially taken over by my belongings. So that was what would cause a lot of rifts was all of my stuff. He just was like, chuck it all out. And yeah, I never.
So he became the lodger in your flat.
Almost. Yeah, I remember as well the plants. So my dad loves plants, and he had plants everywhere, you know, on the TV cabinet, on the windowsills, all over the floor, like literally everywhere. Because I've got lots of stuff. I was like, Dad, these need to go. And I just remember one of my big brothers getting involved, telling me off, didn't even live in London, far away in Manchester. I was just like, AJ, this is Dad's place. You cannot be telling him what he can and can't have. So there's a lot of things like that. But for the most part, it was good. We get on. But luckily, it's the right parent. I could not live with my mum.
Why is that?
She knows it. We're too similar. We'd clash too much. Whereas my dad's actually very calm, very patient. Yeah, he can cope a lot better with my mess than my mum could have.
Yeah. Was it sad to leave the house of Dad?
No. I was like, yeah, it's freedom. You know, imagine, like, for years as well, not, like, brought boys back. Even, like, things like that. You don't have as much freedom. Like, it's great, and I feel really lucky and privileged that I was able to, obviously, move in with a parent, save up in that way, get out, essentially. Whereas, you know, not everyone's lucky enough to have parents who would offer them, you know, their spare room or their couch or wherever they're living in London, quite often the studio flat, who would give up that space for you to live completely rent-free.
And now, you're the ambassador for Shared Ownership Week, but you didn't use Shared Ownership. If you had have known about Shared Ownership, how would that have changed things for you, do you think?
I think I'd have got on the property ladder a lot sooner, for a start, and I wouldn't have had to move in with my dad. Literally, I think it just wasn't even something that I knew about. And I think actually in the UK, quite often, the information is the thing that stops a lot of people getting on the property ladder. And people want to get on the property ladder for different reasons. Like I said, to this day, like my mum up north, she doesn't own her property. And that's fine in certain areas where the demand on space isn't as great sometimes. You can almost like rent long term and it's affordable and it's fine. Whereas especially in cities in the UK, the price jumps up, you have to move out. There's just so much happening constantly that to get that bit of stability, had I have known about shared ownership, I'd have got that stability years ago.
And do you think shared ownership helps to guide people a little bit more into home ownership, whereas before it's maybe a bit intimidating?
Definitely. I think having a scheme where you can essentially pay part rent but also have equity in something is great, and the ability to, you know, be on a payment structure that is affordable to you, quite often less than what you're currently paying in just rent alone, to have that almost like a financial relief to get more for your money, essentially.
Mm. Yeah. Now, tell us about your new place. I've seen some pictures. There's an orange carpet.
I love it.
Talk us around your lovely new home.
Oh, thank you. It is bright. It's going to be bright. Yeah, I've got my big windows that I wanted. I got the split level that I wanted. But because the hallway is quite narrow, and initially when you come into the hallway, it's quite dark, I wanted to keep all of the colours on the wall just white. So really, really neutral. And then I just realised that is not me. So I am injecting all of the colour through my furniture and my statement lighting. So I've got this massive light in my living room that looks like a massive spider. And yeah, bright orange settee, really big, like art pieces on the wall, loads of mirrors. I've got a kitchen, diner, a bathroom, and yeah, and some bedrooms. Yeah. And yeah, it's just really nice.
Do you, are you a follower of fashion? Do you read lots of magazines, lots of watch these interiors programs, or do you just do your own thing?
I do a combination of the two, really. I do my own thing. I love like shows like Home Under the Hammer and back in the day, Changing Rooms and 60 Minute Makeover, Grand Designs. And, you know, those shows are incredible and you do draw a lot of inspiration from them. I certainly did. But Grand Designs are usually for people with an endless pit of money. And Horns and the Hammer, what I found out as well, auction is also really for people with a good, you know, good wad of cash that is up for grabs. So I did, yeah. It was not even an option for me, even Holmes and the Hammer. I'm more of a cash in the attic style girl. But yeah, I definitely did draw a lot of ideas from shows like that. But ultimately, I just did my own thing and moved into it. I renovated the place, but when I moved into it, I moved into it completely unfurnished. I had a microwave, my cooker, my fridge, and hot running water, and that's it. And I think that's what you need to do. You need to pick your furniture once you live in the space and you've got your ideas of where you want to put the telly and how you want to use certain spaces.
Was there any like nasty surprises when you moved in? I mean, I spoke to someone the other day who found an extra room they didn't even know was in the house.
Wow.
When they viewed it. Was there anything that kind of took you by surprise?
Do you know what? That is something that sort of happened to me, but it wasn't an extra room. It was extra outdoor space. So I didn't realise. So when I bought the place, there's no way that I'm getting a garden or balcony or anything like that because it's near impossible in London. But when I was getting in touch with the council, essentially. There's garden at the back of my house, which I thought belonged to the ground floor flat. I said to the council, you need to come round and you need to trim it back. It's attracting vermin. I'm seeing foxes sleep there at night and they bring in all the rubbish. And then the council said, that's not our responsibility. It's the responsibility of this flat. And then quoted my flat, and I went back and looked over the deeds and then realised that I had a little garden as well.
Fantastic, free garden.
Essentially, yeah. There's no way that I'd have been, yeah, in that space. The garden. Yeah, so that was a really nice surprise. But the not so nice surprise was that when I viewed the place, all of the blinds were down. And I think just because I've been looking for so long, thought, AJ, you know what you're doing now. You have a quick look. If you like the look of the place, you buy it. If you don't, you don't. And I didn't do my due vigilance when it came to the windows and realised that I had to replace like all of the downstairs windows, which was a massive cash hit.
Right, yeah. So this is the small details that you need to check when you're before you move in.
Yeah, and honestly, sometimes I looked around with my dad or one of my big brothers and they'd be knocking on the walls and they'd have the measuring tapes out and they'd be checking the windows and, you know, finding out where the gas meter is and, you know, looking at the boiler and doing all of these things that are just so boring but actually very useful. Yeah. Because if you don't check that, then you can't negotiate that down in your offer.
So you think you could have knocked off a little bit of money on something like that.
However, yeah, I did speak to a few friends and I said, does everyone feel like they've spent too much on the house when they eventually get it? And everyone always says, yes. We spent too much money on that. I should have gone lower. But
right,
at the
okay.
time it felt right. Mm. And so, yeah, it's fine.
Good, very good. It sounds lovely. What are you going to do with the garden then? What are you going to do with this extra space that you found?
I've done it. So basically, I created a very low maintenance garden. So I put some AstroTurf down, patio down, and loads of like potted plants, bit of outdoor furniture, bish bash bosh, good to go. I needed something really low key, low maintenance, but somewhere that I can have guests as well. So I threw my dad's 80th birthday party in the garden, and that for me is what made my, you know, my flat feel really homely and special, having all my mates and family around.
So you're a DJ in Ibiza sometimes. Have you created a little bit of Ibiza in Southeast London here? Lucky neighbours.
Something like that. Luckily, my neighbour's really loud as well. And that was another important thing. When I think just the stress of getting on the property ladder, everything's just like such an anticlimax constantly. It's like, oh, I'm saving. So you do that for ages. And then you finally get accepted for a mortgage and you're like, yes, I've been accepted for a mortgage. And then the search begins and then you're like, yes, I found this place. And then that falls through. And then actually this one's not going to fall through, but then there's the solicitor's fees and the surveyor's fee. And it's just always, it's just constantly just, oh, this is never ending. And then when I was almost there with my current place, I suddenly started to have these like reoccurring nightmares that I was mauled by the neighbour's dog. And I just said to my dad, I really need to go around and knock on and see what this neighbour's like before we exchange. My dad was like, AJ, I think you're just a bit stressed out. I'm sure that person's fine. But you never actually know. So I knocked on and luckily she seemed really nice. She didn't own a dog that was going to maul me. So it was all good.
Hey, cool. And is that something you've done with all of the neighbours? Have you gone around and kind of introduced yourself and had a bit of a chat?
Yeah, I have. Maybe that's the northerner in me. And actually, just because I had to stay at my dad's for years, actually, I got to know all my dad's neighbours. My dad lives in this like block of flats and it's full of like OAP men, essentially. And that was a great block to live in if you are busy and constantly out. There's always someone to sign for your parcels. And also, quite a few of my neighbours were deaf, so I would never complain about all of the racket that I made. So when I moved to my place, I think it was just natural. It was just a habit that I've always, you know, I like to know my neighbours. I like to tell them, oh, I'm going away for this weekend. Just like keep an eye on the place or whatever. And actually it's really nice. It makes your house feel bigger. It makes your flat feel spacious because it's extended into the whole community.
And you were saying, you know, you don't really feel like you've arrived when you're trying to buy a house for a long time, and there's lots of different steps to the process. What was the bit where you really felt like, this is it, I've done it?
When I got my key, honestly, that was amazing, because I think just over the period of time, I just learned to not get my hopes up until we definitely exchanged. Like, but even after exchange, it seemed to take ages. And I just, honestly, I don't understand. I'm like, guys, hurry up. So as soon as I got my keys, I was happy as Larry, but then also really scared, because I opened the door and was like, oh my gosh, I bought a proper doer-upper here. This is going to take forever. So I felt like I couldn't even like move in straight away and enjoy it straight away. And I think actually with shared ownership, that's one of the beauties of it. A lot of the places available are, you know, brand new, ready to go. You get your keys, you can pop that champagne and invite your mates around from the get-go, and that's something that I wasn't able to do.
So were you putting in shelves the first day you walked in? What was the first thing
we did actually was knock out the bathroom and kitchen. That it was like, get the hammers out. Don't knock anything up, knock everything out. Hiring skips as well, just everything actually. You take for granted all of the little things, but now I've got a newfound appreciation for central heating, radiators, good windows. I honestly, when I go around to my mate's house, I'm like, oh, great hot water, fantastic pressure, strong toilet flush, you know, things like that really make me happy.
So you're a bit more interested in windows and things like this now.
Who knew? You know, instead of, you know, shopping for really nice bags and dresses, I would much rather get a rug or a cushion. Correct light bulbs is the one thing that I need to master. I've got these dimmer lights in my living room, and I got this amazing light for my ceiling, but the 6 bulbs don't switch on, they just blur, because you need special bulbs for dimmer lights. Who knew?
Okay.
So the same in the bathroom as well, got the wrong bulb.
And where do you find these bulbs?
Anywhere, B&Q, literally Homebase, they all sell them. You just need to know what bulbs you're getting for your fixtures. Currently, I've got a lovely ambient candle flickering away in the bathroom. So that's my light at the moment.
Old school.
Old school vibes.
So cushions, rugs, candles, what makes a home feel like a home for you?
For me, comfort. Whilst I want the place to look nice, I don't want it to be a showroom. I want to sit down on a settee and it feel nice. I want to take my shoes off and the carpet under my feet to feel lovely and warm. So warmth and comfort feels homely to me, but also just having your mates around, letting everyone know exactly where you live and that the kettle is always ready to be popped on if they're ever in the neighbourhood.
Excellent. So have you splashed out on anything really luxurious yet for your pad? And if money was no object, what would you get?
So the most luxurious thing I've got is my living room rug. That rug was pricey, but I just needed it. I feel like it's so funny when you fall in love with a piece, and especially I think things like carpets, rugs, sofas, they're your statement pieces and they're really gonna transform the room. It's hard to walk away from it. I just needed to have it. Basically, it arrived when my orange carpet in the hallway was being fit, and my carpet fitter was like, oh, that's a nice rug. That is state of the art rug, that. And I just thought, I've got the seal of approval from a professional carpet fitter whose job is carpets and rugs. I was like, yes, it made it feel extra special that I had his nod.
Fantastic. Yeah. And is it just you in the house, or do you have any pets? Because I read somewhere that you got bitten by a dog once, so you're not a massive fan of dogs.
No, yeah. I don't have a pet, but I'd never say never to having a pet, but it is just me at the moment. I did want to get a housemate. I thought I was going to have a housemate at some point, but honestly, I think after renovating and you do naturally become a little bit anal about certain things, I think I just want my mess to stay my mess whilst I can't, really. Mm. So
that makes sense, yeah.
It's just me, myself, and I.
How does it feel to own a place rather than to rent? Does it make a big difference? I mean, is there a financial aspect and also a way you feel about yourself and your home?
Financially, for me, it's so much better. I actually feel financially free, which sounds bananas, because essentially, like, a mortgage is like one big debt. However, when paying, basically my monthly repayments are a lot cheaper, and I mean literally 50% lower than what I was paying in rent. So that alone is just bananas to me. So financially, I feel a lot more stable, and as a result, I feel calm, I feel happy, I feel relaxed knowing that no matter what, I can afford to definitely live where I live. Whereas, when I was renting, if the price would fluctuate all of the time, and especially with my line of work, my fees fluctuate all of the time, so that would offer quite a lot of stress. But on a personal side, of things. I just really, I really enjoy the stability, the security of going back to the same place. I know that I'm going to be living there for quite some time and get to know my neighbours, and that real sense of community is the thing that I've always been searching for, and now I feel like I've got it. So I feel so happy, basically.
I think a lot of people maybe feel that they get tied down by a mortgage, but maybe it is also the opposite, that you have more freedom because then you can rent out your house, or, you know, if you go away. Did you feel for a while that you were nervous about being tied down by a mortgage?
No, I have never felt the fear of being tied down, because I just think, look, if you get a mortgage and you then decide it's not for you, you can either rent it out and go elsewhere, or you can sell it and go elsewhere. So the options are always there. I think people always, you feel like you're trapped by a mortgage and then you're on the separate wheel and it's all just one big trick. But I certainly don't feel like that. I feel like I've got options and freedom. And yeah, like I said, I've got the option to sell, to rent, or to just have someone come round if I go away on a big trip, for example, and just get a friend to move in for a few months, be fine. It's good.
Great. So it does give you a bit more freedom, actually. That's
I think so.
Can I ask, what's your favourite room in the house and why?
Oh, that's so hard. Because genuinely, I love every single room. I'm very lucky in that respect. When you get to put a stamp on your own place, then you will love every single room because you've chosen everything. You've curated absolutely everything. But the living room is for me just, I walk into that room and I'm like, oh, wow. It's got three huge windows and it's really, really light. It's got high ceilings and your eyes just draw up and I just love it. And I've got a bright orange settee to go with me hallway runners. And I just, yeah, I love it. Every day that I walk into that room, it takes my breath away. I'm like, oh, wow, it's so good. It's just so different to how I grew up in Blackburn, because my living room, so I'm one of eight. I've got five brothers, two sisters, and we grew up in this three-bedroom terraced house in Blackburn. We had a backyard, but it was absolutely tiny. And my dad was a joiner at the time. And our yard was always actually filled with like toilets, baths, like everything that he was going to work on at someone else's property, essentially. Our living room had one tiny window, so not really very much natural light in the living room. And the kitchen was a really thin, narrow corridor, which led onto this tiny bathroom. And yeah, I just think the fact that I've got three big windows in my living room and I've been brought up with one tiny window with like loads of kids in it is just like a big game changer for me.
And you said you've stayed in a lot of places over the years and rented out lots of different places. Where was another sort of memorable place that you stayed, and what was your favourite place that you've perhaps rented?
Do you know what? My favourite and worst place was this flat on Brick Lane. Now, Brick Lane's very trendy and beautiful now, but just over 10 years ago when I moved there, it was a fun, vibrant place to be, but dirt cheap. I paid £395 a month for my rent all in. So like heating, electricity, the lot. But the catch was I had to live with five strangers and we didn't have a living room. The bathroom was tiny, like the size of the actual bath. It was, honestly, it looked like a crackdown. Like, my whole bedroom wall was covered in like black mold, and the floor was damp. And quite often, our landlord would leave us with no central heating whatsoever for like 3 months at a time. So you're like, yes, it's all included, but there's never any hot water. It was awful. But also, like, one of my, you know, some of my happiest memories were in that flat, because especially with all my northern mates, they'd come and visit me, and their thing was like, wow, like, London, I can't believe it. And then they'd get to my place and be like, what are you doing here? Come back to Blackburn. Come and live the dream back up north.
So it's more about the location with that one.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so you're now the ambassador for the Shared Ownership Week. What do you think is really important about shared ownership?
I think the best thing about shared ownership is the fact that you're not going to get gazumped at the last minute. I fell in love with loads of places, you know, my offer got accepted, and then all of a sudden you've been outbid and someone else has come in out of nowhere and put in a higher offer. With shared ownership, you put down your deposit and you are good to go. So there's none of that stress. And in addition to that, there's no chains. You know, being chain free was just a great thing for me. I wasn't in a chain, but the people that I was buying off were in a chain. So if that chain broke down, if anyone pulled out of buying or selling along that line, then that affects me. There's so many people that are part of your home buying journey. Whereas with shared ownership, there's none of that. As soon as you've put down your deposit, you're chain free. There's no chains. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How important do you think it is that young people and families have an opportunity to get on the ladder these days?
I think home ownership is not for everyone, but, you know, financial stability is for everyone, no matter who you are, no matter what your circumstances are. And I think it's good to at least have the option to see whether it is for you. Quite often people think that there's no way that they'll get on the property ladder. They don't even, you know, they don't even consider it because they just think they're so far removed. Whereas actually, you might not be, and you might be better off financially. It's just good to just look into it and weigh up your options. And I think everyone's got the right to have that access of information, and everyone deserves to have the offer of financial stability in a community and a home space that they feel happiest in.
I'm guessing shared ownership is really going to help out those young people that are struggling at the moment to get on the ladder.
Yeah, it's harder and harder and harder for young people to get onto the ladder. And, you know, like I said, it was really hard for me to move back in with a parent. But I think that's becoming more and more common, is, you know, people will go off to uni and will experience, you know, life living independently from their parents, but then always have to go back. And that is really frustrating, but also really an indication of how difficult it is to get onto the property ladder at the moment. So I think shared ownership is a great, you know, opportunity for people to consider.
And just finally, we've seen your house and it is gorgeous, but where would your ultimate dream property be? If it could be anywhere in the world, money, no object, where would you go?
Oh, I don't know. Do you know what? It's really difficult because I'm a northerner through and through. So I always think, like, one day I'll be back up north with loads of green space. But then sometimes I think, nah, you want to live in Barcelona in a villa with a pool, with gorgeous sunsets and, like, high ceilings and just gorgeousness. But honestly, currently I just love being in Southeast London, and I think more green space is essentially what I'd like ultimately like seek one day. Have you ever been to Blackheath in London?
Yes, I have.
I love it. And Blackheath Common is like my dream location in the UK. If I could live on Blackheath Common tomorrow, I'd be there.
So it's Blackheath, Blackburn, or Barcelona, one of the three B's.
Exactly.
Cool. All right, well, thank you very much for coming in and chatting to us today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
To find out more about shared ownership, don't forget to check out sharedownershipweek.co.uk.